Praise God. Praise God. Good morning, church.
Good morning, sir.
Good to see you. Thank you, Pastor Ken and Becky, for your very kind invitation to come and be with you today. This is a great church. You've got a great pastor. They've just been such good friends for me over the years. And I'll tell you something I really appreciate about this couple. They're real. I'll say that again. I said they're real. Amen. There's no facade. They don't put on any airs. What you see is what you get. And I love this couple for that very reason. And they've been good friends over the years, and we so appreciate it. And I have a friend with me today. Miss Vicki came with me today. She wanted to meet Ken and Becky. And so here we are. And it's been a year. And last year this time, we were quite concerned about your pastor and what was going to take place. And this year, we have another concern because the doctor says he's normal. Maybe we need to talk about that. I don't know. But anyway, we do appreciate them so very much. And the Lord has laid something on my heart that I want to share with you today, something I've never, ever ministered along this line before. And it may be that through a portion of the message this morning, you may feel like that I'm bringing doom and gloom, and that's not the case at all, because I want you to leave here with some hope and encouragement when you walk out the door today. Because how many know we're living in trying times right now? We're going through a lot of difficult things. A lot of things are changing around us. I don't know what normal is anymore. Of course, I never really knew what normal was to begin with, but normality to us is not as we've known it in the past. We're doing things quite different than we've ever done. I never thought I'd go to the grocery store and it have hours on the floor telling you which direction to walk and to how far you're supposed to stand. And now we're coming to the thing, if you got to have the right change, because they don't make change anymore. So we're having a lot of changes going on in our lives, right? A lot of things are happening, a lot of uncertainty, and we're just seeing over and over and over again of what's taking place and what's transpiring now. I am here today. I'm maybe a little bit older than a lot of you that are here today in the congregation, but I grew up in the 50s and was a teenager during the 60s, and that's probably over some of you's head because you weren't even born during that time. But a lot of transitions took place during that time as well. We saw the great revolt of people and college students and things coming against the establishment back in the 60s and the sexual revolution and everything that took place back in those days. And things begin to change at a very rapid pace. And that's the time that I grew up and what I went through. But actually, even though we can talk about those things and what happened then, I don't know if you're familiar with a show that's been on television for a number of years called The Andy Griffith Show. Anybody ever seen any of those? And I've seen them all. I can tell you within about 30 seconds of watching a little bit of what this one's all about, because I've seen them all over the years and seen all those particular programs. And that's kind of the era that I grew up in, was during that time, during the 50s and even into the 60s. We saw a lot of these things. And that story that you watch on TV now is not just something that someone's made up. That was a lot of truth in those stories. I remember back then that we never locked the doors to the home. There was never a lock on our door. You didn't take the keys out of your car. You could trust most people that you came in contact with. I watched my dad buy 50 acres of property from a neighbor with a handshake. There wasn't even any papers signed. And that's the era that we grew up in, and that's what we saw in years gone by, and that's the way things were back then. And, you know, it was easy to trust people. And you didn't feel like someone was going to steal from you or take from you, or you're going to be in danger by any means. But it's not that world today, is it? That's not where we live today. You won't find anything in the world similar to that and where we live, not just in our nation, but from around the world. We don't see anything. We're seeing changes in our nation like we've never seen before. And not only in our nation, but in other nations as well. And I've told people time and time again, you know, I'll go most just about anywhere as long as I don't have to have a passport. I don't want to go outside the country because I don't know what it's going to be like if I do. And really, I don't know what it's going to be like here where we are right now. But it's changing very, very rapidly, and we've seen that. And those of my generation find it difficult to recognize the United States as we've known it in times past. This is not the same nation as it was 20 years ago or 50 years ago or in times past. We're living in different times. There's no doubt about it. And right now, it just seems like we're finding it difficult to trust anyone. Did you know that? We've got a lot of politicians that are before us. We have news media that's before us. We have a lot of social media that's coming at us. And a lot of things, we just don't know what we can trust and what we can't trust. We have to be very careful what we hear and what we do and where we go and the people we come in contact with, because we really don't know what's going to take place or what's going to happen. We're finding that there's riots now. And that's not totally new, because I've seen that before in my lifetime, but it's at a greater level now than it's ever been before. The riots and the looting and all of the things that's taken place, and you know, the crimes that are so prevalent today were unheard of a few years ago. We didn't see back just a few years ago some of the things that's become commonplace in our nation today. So things have changed quite a bit in a short period of time. Can I have one amen?
Amen.
You're pretty quiet on me. I just want to make sure we're on the same page here so that you're listening to me. But you know, we know from reading our Bibles that the spirit of lawlessness has been running rampant in our nation for a very long time. A very long time. We've seen that over and over and over again. And we're finding that people have different opinions. And you talk to this person, they'll tell you it needs to be like this. And sometimes it'll be like this. And you ask some people, you know, what's going on? What's happening? Church people will try to, if they know anything about the Bible, will try to give you some kind of an answer from the Bible. Some are right, some are wrong as to what's taking place. And people who don't know the Lord or just give you something off the wall. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to take place. We don't know what our nation's going to look like next year or in 5 years through the Lord tarry or whatever the time frame may be. And so there's a lot of people giving their opinions and telling us what they think and telling us what's going on in these particular times. But evil has been around since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. It's not new. What's happening right now didn't start just a few years ago. This has been going on from the beginning of time. Ever since Adam and Eve made the mistake that they made in the garden, and you know what that was? They failed and they were booted out of the garden, kicked out of the garden. And so evil has been around ever since. It's been going on time and time and time again. So as we study our history, we see that lawlessness has grown predominantly over the years. It's gotten worse. It's gotten more open, more prevalent. It's, you know, we don't see as many crimes taking place behind the scenes anymore. It's right out in the streets. It's right before our eyes and what's happening and what's going on. Now, please follow me if you would, please. I'm going to give you just a couple of passages of Scripture today. I'm going to refer to some, but we're going to stay primarily in two. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 30, if you would, please, and just hold up there for just a moment. And then once you find Proverbs 30, move on over then, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's the two primary Scriptures that I want to use today. I want to use one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament to share my heart with you today. And we will be putting in some other Scriptures in between there, because I find that's maybe, I don't know if it's something strong in my life or weak in my life, but when I minister, I generally flood people with Scriptures when I do that. And I don't want to do that today. I want to give you a few, but two primary Scriptures that we're going to walk through today that I want you to be able to see. So follow me with these, if you would, please, and read with me, and following along with me for these, Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to begin reading at verse 11, and this one's got a little bit of a length to it, but I want you to hear what's in this and follow me in it. Verse 11 says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There's a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied, four never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and fire that never says enough. The eyes that mock his father and scorns the obedience of his mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Now listen, I know that may be not understanding to you, but we're going to walk through this a little bit. I want you to be able to see this. This scripture was given by King David to his son Solomon. And he was speaking to him and giving some insight of what could be taking place in his generation and what could be going on at that time. Now, there are two major sections of scripture that describe the events of evil. And first of them, many of them, you'll find in the book of Proverbs. And if you want to move over to the New Testament, we're going to look at that in a little bit. We'll see some things in the New Testament as well. But Proverbs, and then that of 2 Timothy, as we'll talk about in just a moment. It speaks of how evil will dominate the culture and eventually the entire world. Now, King David was talking about that in his day, of the evil that was not only take over where he lived, but it would take over the entire world. And so David was describing what would happen under his rule if evil was not punished or laws were allowed to be broken without any consequences. How many know we're having some of that today? We're seeing some of that. So David was talking about that. Now, we'll see this in a few moments. We're not going to go there just yet. But in the New Testament, Paul describes the same events, but not just in the scale of Israel as it was with David, but Paul talks about it from a worldwide standpoint. And we're going to see that in just a few moments of what he's talking about here. Now, it seems our nation is like a hornet's nest that has been disturbed, and angry mobs are arriving in the streets as a result of that. We're seeing a whole lot of things take place because law and order is a big part of our national elections. Did you know that?
Yes.
Law and order. We're talking about defunding the police. We're talking about taking police out of the equation. We're talking about having lawlessness where people can come and do what they want to do. And there's no consequences for whatever it is that they're doing. So that's what we're referring to in these particular ones. Our culture is no longer based on what is right or wrong. We don't see that anymore. That's not where we are today. It seems to be based on how a person or a group of feels about a certain topic or a certain thing. Whoever screams the loudest seems to be the one that gets the attention. They're the ones that seemingly get the answers that they're looking for. The ones that scream the most. Now, we have seen that no two people feel the same way, so there's no peace or satisfaction. We've got groups today that are fighting one another, and they're supposedly on the same camp, but yet they're arguing among themselves because people have different opinions. And everybody wants to express their opinions, and we want everybody to go along with our opinion because everybody feels like my opinion is right. So we want everybody to walk with me. We want everybody to march to the drummer that I'm listening to. And if everybody do that, everything will be fine, but that's not going to happen. Because everybody else has their own opinions and what it is that they want to do as well. Now, care for others is now replaced with care for me. May I say that one more time?
Yes, sir,
care for others has now been replaced with care for me. It's a me generation. It's all about me. It's not about other people. It's about me. And David described the generation that we are currently living in. The scriptures that we have just read. And we'll look into this just a little bit closer in just a few moments. I want you to be able to see that. But David described the generation we're currently living in. Now look at verse 12 from that we just read. It said, there is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet not washed from its filthiness. They're looking inward at themselves completely. This generation is vastly self-righteous, and they're not even wanting the righteousness of God. They're not looking for God. They're not looking for His standards. They're not looking for what God has for them. They're looking to themselves. They're looking inward through all of these. Now let's take a closer look at this. Look into the day in which we are living. Rebellion towards authority is where anarchy begins. Rebellion towards authority, rebelling against those who are in charge. Now, from one life to eventually a great majority of lives who are infected with the disease of what I call self-righteousness. They're self-righteous. It's all about me. Give me what I want. Let me do what I want to do. Are you still with me? Are you still here? Now, it begins with rebellion towards authority on a most personal level. Now, rebellion begins, you know where it begins? Against moms and dads. Rebellion begins with children in the home against moms and dads. And once it begins to escalate from there, then it bleeds over into the classroom. And everyone that's ever been a teacher, I believe, would say amen to that. They've seen rebellion grow to a greater level in the last few years than it's ever been before with our children. And then it goes from the classroom, then it goes to the police. We don't want to listen to the police. We watch people as we were making the dramatic scenes about arrests and what's taking place. And I've come to the conclusion, if I just listen to what a police officer is saying to me, I really don't think I'm going to have any trouble. Six of you got that. Are you following? I believe if he gives me a command and I do my best to follow that command, I believe that I'll be okay. But we're seeing that it bleeds then over into that, and then it goes into the military. We don't want the military to do anything. We don't want to listen to the military. We don't want the military to come in and try to bring peace and order to our cities because we're in rebellion. But the end result is we're rebelling against God. We're rebelling against God because we don't want God's righteousness. We're rebelling against that. Now, this is not new. The original challenge began with Lucifer. That's where it started in the very beginning. And now it's voiced to a vast majority of our society today. The same words that Lucifer used in the beginning, we're hearing echoed by so many people today, and they don't even realize what they're doing. Let me show you this. In Isaiah 14:14 says, this is what it says. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now listen to this. I want you to see this. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer said, I'm going to be just like God. I'm going to be just like Him. I'm going to rebel and get to this place. And the majority of the people today in the world that we're living in today have this same type of an attitude. I'll rebel against it because it's not what I want. Now, this generation thinks they're right and everybody else is wrong. It's going to get real quiet next for the next few minutes. This generation thinks they're right and everybody else is wrong. You don't give me your opinion because my opinion's right. You don't tell me what you think because what I'm thinking is right. The self-righteous look up to themselves and down in contempt on everyone else as being stupid, naive, or not even being able to think for themselves. We have been told we're that way by some people in some pretty prominent positions. We don't know how to think. We don't know how to take care of our kids. We don't know how to live. We need somebody else to do that for us. And that's what we have been told. And it started with Lucifer when he said, I'm going to rebel against God. And that's exactly what's happening to do. This is the height of arrogance and it's demonic thinking. If you still love me, smile at me, please. Hallelujah. Thank you. That helps a whole lot. Why? When challenged or proven wrong, they resort to childish temper tantrums, protests, violence, and destruction when they don't get their way. You ever seen a little kid want something in a grocery store or with their mom and dad walking down the aisle and they're screaming and kicking and hollering and wanting what they want, trying to get mom or dad to give in to them? The trouble is they grow into adults and then they go into the streets and do the same thing. Because they've not had any consequences for what they did before. I'm preaching better than you realize. Hallelujah. In our opening text, it says their teeth are compared to swords and to knives. Now look at this. I want you to see this. The same mouth which speaks of love and understanding turned to weapons. Turns to weapon if someone disagree with them or they don't like the way they're doing it. They turn on them. A few moments ago, they were saying how much we love you and how much we care, but because they didn't agree with them, they turned the other direction. And her teeth have become like knives to bring destruction and to destroy. They say they want to care for the poor and the less fortunate. That's what we hear. We want to make sure all these people are taken care of. But in reality, the poor and the helpless are the ones that are trying to destroy and to remove from the earth.
Let's get them off the planet. Let's get them out of the way.
Now, this may or may not have to do with my message today, but we're seeing a whole lot of this happen right now. You know, euthanasia, we're talking about the fact of how we can help. You know, well, let's back up just a little bit. The abortion rate in our nation is at a greater level than it's ever been.
Right.
We're learning how to destroy children even after they're born.
Amen.
To kill the child. And so the next step, I believe, then, will be to eliminate the older folks who not benefit to the society anymore.
Yep.
I can't give back to the community because of my age like I did before, so let's just get rid of them. We no longer need them.
Mm.
And that's what these verses are talking about, these very same things. Follow me on through this, if you would, please. According to our scripture, the end result of the rebellious is to be killed and eaten by the birds in the desert. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that, but we'll just let you take that home with you. Now, there's a lot of things brought out in these verses of scripture that I want you to see. And I promise you, I'm going to get encouraging before it's over with. Don't be discouraged at this point. We're going to get there. However, there is one major theme that emerges that I want you to see today in everything that I want to share with you. Listen carefully. Are you ready for this? Here is the major thing that I want you to see. Here, you ready for it? Evil is never satisfied. Never. It is never satisfied. When the left-wingers get their way on one issue, it's as if it was never resolved. Because there's another issue. There's something else we're going to grab hold of and something we're going to take care of. Now listen, society is no closer to an answer than they ever were before because it's never satisfying. No matter what answer we give, what conclusion we come to, it's not enough. We're going to have something else. So we're going to go to one more. We're going to go to another one. The air, the water, our environment can never be clean enough. I don't care how clean we make the air. I'm here to tell you it's never going to be enough. How pure we make the water, it's never going to be enough. It's never satisfied. There's absolutely no end to it. Some groups now want superior rights over other people. Our group is better than your group, so we get more rights than you get. We're allowed to do this, but you can't do this. Now, verse 15 says, the leech has two daughters, give and give. Two daughters. How many know a leech can never get enough blood? Can never get enough blood. No matter how much blood they get, it's never enough. And it says, the leech has two daughters, give and give. And that leech is never satisfied. And then it goes on to give other examples. Look at this. I want you to see this. It talks about the graves, the barren wombs, water on dry ground, and fire which continues to burn anything that's placed in its path. Fire will never go out as long as it can find something to consume. There's no end to it. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And the only time the rebellious of our day will stop is when everything has been destroyed. Now that's not good news, is it? It has been destroyed. And when that happens, guess what happens then? The rebellious then begins to turn on each other. They begin to destroy one another. It says the eagles will eat of their flesh in the desert. Now, Paul in the New Testament gives us a view of the last days. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at this for just a moment, please. Verse 1 says, but know this, that in the last days... How many of you here believe we're in the last days? How many believe there is such a thing as the last days? Right? There is, you know, people talk about the end of the world's come. No, it's not the end of the world, it's the end of time. The world's always going to be here, forever. But the end of time is going to come. It's going to happen. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good,
traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of God. And he says, don't you be a part of that. And from such, turn away, it says. We don't want to be a part of any of that, do we? We don't want to be including any of that. Every sin mentioned in these verses comes from the root sin of one thing, and that is this: lovers of themselves. We care more about ourselves than we do anybody else or anything. That's what we're talking about in these. Notice that the one that Solomon mentioned in our opening text, disobedient to parents. Solomon mentioned that. Now, we're currently living in a world of a worldwide situation of where it's a me generation. It's all about me. Give me what I want. Let me do what I want. This is the best for me. It's all about me. It's not about my neighbors. It's not about the future. It's not about somebody. It's about me. It's the me generation over and over and over and over again. A generation that feels that it's superior to its father and its mother in all forms of authority. They know better than anybody else. And we're being told that. No matter what your age is, there's somebody telling us that, that they are better than us. So the question is, what can we do to stop all of this? What can we do to change all of this? Now, not all my message today is gloom and doom, I promise you. It's really, really not. Please listen with an open heart. As I share, I believe, what is the good news pertaining to this kind of thing. Because, folks, this is the hour where we're living. This is what's going on in our nation. You know that. You see that. You turn on the television or anything else, any kind, wherever you're listening to, you're hearing about what's going on in our nation, what's going on in the world over and over and over and over again. Now, listen. God has placed the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. And let me say this, and I may say it again in a few moments, but none of this is happening is taking God by surprise. God is not upset about it. I mean, he doesn't like what's going on, but what I mean upset is that it didn't surprise him. He knows everything. So none of this took him by surprise. God has placed the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. That is every blood-bought, born-again person here today and in other churches around the country, everybody that's accepted Jesus Christ, you're the blood-bought church, and God has sent you here for a time as this. We're here for now. That's why we are here. We are armed with the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God, and we are to carry the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ during all of these troubles and all that's going on. And everything that's happening around the world, we have been given great authority in the earth, authority in the realm of the spirit, the things that the enemy would try to do. We have authority in the earth during these things. We don't have authority over other people. We don't have authority over each other, but we have authority in the realm of the spirit. And God has armed us with that in this hour. It's where we are right now. Now, the church today, using our authority, can and will hinder Satan's advance until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to rule and reign himself. He's equipped us to be here, to stand in this, and we can hinder Satan from doing all the destruction that he wants to. He'd like to take over today. He'd like to consume everything today. He's working hard to make that happen, but we can hold him off. Sure, the Bible says some things are going to happen, and I've heard people say, well, there's no use to pray because the Bible says this is going to happen. You can't do anything about it. I beg to disagree with you. We can do something about it. No, it's not going to change what God says, but it can hinder the work of the enemy in our generation while we're here till the Lord comes back for us. I hope you have the hope that God's coming back for us. I trust you have the hope that the clouds are going to break one day and Jesus is going to receive us. Amen? Amen. And some of you are not going to respond. I don't care what I say. I see that already. But anyway, what Jesus began at the cross of Calvary, he will finish when he comes the second time. He's going to finish it. His word is true. We sing about it this morning. His promises have been given to us.
And it's not going to change. We have his promises, what he's going to do. But between these two events, this army of born-again, spirit-filled Christian who know the rights of, and the body of Christ are going to be placed here for a reason. Placed here for the hour such as this. Now, once we, the church, is removed at the rapture of the church, then just 7 years later, Jesus will finally set up his rule over Satan and all of the earth. Satan's demise has already been told. Hello? It's already been told. Now, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on the earth. Isn't that good news? He's going to set up his kingdom right here on the earth. We're going to see that. It's going to be a 1,000-year reign called the millennial reign, where there's going to be peace, where Satan is locked up for 1,000 years and everything's going to be at peace for 1,000 years. Boy, that's going to be good, isn't it? That's not the best, but that's good. Because the best is going to come even after that. But we're not going to get into any of that. Listen, finally all religion will be removed from the earth. On that day, Revelation 11:15 says this, the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. He's going to set up his kingdom and he's going to reign. Listen, we have been placed here for this particular time, and God has, you're seeing something today that no other generation has ever seen. And that is the presence of God in the midst of everything that's taking place in the world today. All the calamity that's going on in the world today. So in the meantime, while we're in the midst of this, in the face of all forms of evil, in this rebellion, Jesus himself said this. Now when these things begin to happen, didn't say when in the midst of it, he said when they begin to happen. This could be just the beginning of what's going to take place. Did you know that? Could just be the beginning. He said, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, don't be discouraged because your redemption is drawing nigh. All the evil that we're seeing, man, I want to tell you, we're getting close to the coming of the Lord. Our redemption is coming to us. We're about to be lifted out of here. We're about to come to the end of all this because the Word of God tells us what's going to happen over these times. Now listen. You're living in an hour that the prophets of old would just only long to see. Did you know that? They wanted to see the hour of the coming of the Lord. They wanted to see the coming of a Savior. They wanted to see a Redeemer. They wanted to see the things that you and I are living in right now. They longed to see that. God has placed us here for such a time as this. We're here for a purpose, church. You're here for a purpose today. And that is to hold back, to hinder Satan from doing what he would really like to do until the Lord comes for us. We're the ones with the power right now, keeping him from taking over, keeping him from destroying everything. The church, the body of Christ, that's us. Timothy penned that we saw these things, we were in the last days. So that means I don't care when, you know, we've probably heard that all of our life. I have, ever since I've been born. I've heard my parents talk about the last days. Yeah. Well, I don't care how many it is, today's one day less than it was. Amen? Amen? Every day we're one day closer. So if suppose it is 3 more days, suppose it is 3 more months, suppose it is 10 years, suppose it is 1,000, I don't care. We're one day closer. Every single day, we're one closer. This is not the time to become disheartened. This is not the time to be disoriented with what we believe or what we do. This is not the time to be fearful. I know this virus thing has brought fear to a lot of people, but you know, and as your pastor has said, we're going to use wisdom and do what we need to do and follow as best we can, but we're not going to live in fear. We should allow our faith to override our fear. Amen? I heard a man say this in a church just a few weeks ago. He was just in conversation. He said, talking about getting the virus, he said, it's not a matter if, it's a matter when. Not me, buddy. I'm not making my plans to get it. Hello? I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to use common sense, but I won't believe the Word of God. I'm not going to live in fear either. I'm not going to live in fear either. It's unusual. Some of the things that we see take place right now just kind of make the mind go tilt. when you see what's going on. I mean, it's like walking into a restaurant. You can't get in a restaurant unless you got a mask on. Walk across the room, sit down, then you can take your mask off. Huh? What's the difference between walking across the room with a mask on and sitting down in the same room with a mask on? I don't understand that. A young man yesterday, I mean, he came. I didn't have my mask on when I was at this particular business, and I know him, and he came up to me and said, T.R., where's your mask? I said, don't have it. I said, yours working? Yeah, mine works. I said, well, that's good, because if you can't breathe that on me and you can't take mine in from you, he said, you're good. I don't need one. He didn't quite understand that. But, you know, and I'm not opposed to that. Please, I'm not saying don't wear a mask. That's not what I said, because I got a mask, okay? And we wear a mask where we need to. But we just see so many things transpire during this time that creates fear in us. And I'm telling you, church, don't be fearful. Amen. Don't be fearful. No matter what comes upon the earth, Jesus is still our Lord. Jesus still reigns in our heart. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Praise God. This is the hour that the Old Testament saints long to believe. I just made that comment to you. Abraham, Elijah, Daniel, Moses, all expressed it there to see what you and I are living in today. To have the power of God in our life. They long to have what you and I have today. They had the power of God come upon them for a certain instant. Something could transpire. Something could happen at that moment. And the power of God would come upon them for that. And then it would depart. You and I have the Holy Spirit in us 24/7. I don't care where you go or what goes on. He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. He's always with you. And they longed to have that. They wanted to have that. And you and I have got it. Amen? We've got it. We are the church of the redeemed. Say that. I am the church of the redeemed. Say it with me. I am the church of the redeemed. Do you know there's a special song that's been written for us in heaven that only the redeemed are going to be able to sing it? We're the only ones going to be able to sing that song. Old Testament saints are going to have to sit back and watch you and I sing. And if, you know, whether you can sing or not, you're going to sing this one. The church of the redeemed is going to be singing this song because it's written for us. And we're going to be able to sing that together. We are the redeemed. God reserved us, you and me, for the very hour in which we live. Now, only God can stop or slow down what's happening. I realize that. We can't go out into the streets and stop what's taking place. We can't go out in any place and change what's out there just with our own power and our own resources to do that. Only God can do that. This is the hour that we, the church, the redeemed, need to be praying.
Yes.
Got quiet on that one. This is the hour in which we need to pray. Now listen, we need to get involved with our local governments and what's taking place in our local governments. We need to vote according to the Word of God, the standard of God. We need to make sure that we get involved with that and do that. Do what we need to do. We're not going to stop totally what's happening in the world, but we can sure put brakes on it to keep it from coming in like a flood. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Our job is to stand in the face of all this and declare, thus saith the Lord. I stand up every day in the face of coronavirus and I say, thus saith the Lord. I decree that every day of my life. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. What does the Bible say about me? What does the Bible say about the church? What does the Bible say about this situation? What does the Bible say about any of this? We walk by faith, not by sight, and I refuse to live in fear. Vicki and I have had this conversation I don't know how many times because of the people that we run into and we talk to. And, you know, today you don't know whether to walk up to someone and offer a handshake or a hug or an elbow bump or stand 6 feet back and wait. You don't know what to do. That's the hour in which we live. I did a message a few weeks ago called the Touchless Society. That's where we are. We are in a touchless society right now. Completely. Walking down the aisle the other day at Walmart and somebody said, hey, didn't you see that arrow? Are you kidding? I didn't even see the Indian. I guess I was going the wrong direction, wasn't I? Must have been. Wow. Anyway, And I saw this little caption somewhere or another. I don't know where I read this, but somewhere or another said, had this little thing said, stand here. And the guy said, oh, no, I've seen that Roadrunner program too many times to stand there. I know what's going to happen if I stand there. Wow. You know what our job is through all of this, church? And Bob, I'm going to boil it down just like this. I'm going to close it just a minute. We're to love people. Can I say that one more time? We are to love people. Amen?
Yes.
We are to love people. Our job is to stand in the face of all this and declare, thus saith the Lord, and love people. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Our job is not to get involved on social media and to give our expression, all of our views, and just enrage this thing even more. I don't care what you put on Facebook about what you believe. It's not going to change anybody else's feeling. It's just going to stir somebody else up. That's all it's going to do. Just stay away from it. Just stay away from it. Find you a scripture and put on there. Find something that brings peace and put on there. You don't have to vocalize everything before the world, because it just makes things that much harder. It enrages things over and over and over. It engages that rage. But let me leave you one more verse of scripture, if I could, please. And I didn't ask you to turn to this because you probably already know it by heart. But from Mark chapter 12, it says this. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And, everybody say and.
Amen.
Now please don't miss this. The second like this, like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. We're called to love God and to love people. I don't like what people do. I don't like what people say. I don't like the way people act. But you still got to love people, because God created them. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Jesus himself said this. So now we know we fight back with the truth, which is the word of God, not with hate, not with dissension. Oh, I don't like a lot of things I read. I don't like a lot of things I hear. But I'm better to keep my mouth shut than to start speaking what I think. Hello. Are you still with me? Whether you believe it or not, God is not moved by all of this. Whether you believe it or not, he's not worried about any of this. Whether you believe it or not, he is not fearful with anything that's going on. Because you know what? He already knows how all this is going to end. I want to be on the winning side. I want to be on the winning team. I'm going to walk with God. How about you? That's where I want to be. And neither should the blood-bought church of the living God be concerned either. We don't need to be worried about it. I didn't say we didn't like it, but we don't need to be worried about it. You shouldn't be losing sleep at night over what's going on in the world, because God's got this thing under control if we'll hold fast to him. He's going to take care of his church. I said he's going to take care of his church. That's me and you, the redeemed. Jesus said, look up, for your redemption is drawing closer and closer and closer. Folks, as I said in the opening, I'm a little older than some of you here, but I get more excited every day thinking about I'm going to see the skies break and I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. Isn't that good news? I get excited about that. Our end is far greater than where we are right now. Could I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment, please? Father, I thank you today that you brought peace to our hearts and not turmoil. I thank you, Father, even though all that's going on in the midst, Lord, we've seen from your word that you've already described these things to us. So you already know what it's all about. But Lord, I thank you as we hold fast to your hand, as we walk with you, Lord, as we move in your footsteps, Lord, that everything is going to be okay with us. You're going to take care of us. Lord, I thank you today for every person that's here, everyone in the sound of my voice, Lord, that they'll receive the peace of God during these troubling times. And what's going on in the hour in the world in which we live. Lord, I pray that today, tomorrow, next week, whenever it might be, Lord, that they'll remember, Lord, just to look up, knowing their redemption is drawing nigh as they see all the things that's happening. And Lord, more than anything, may they just love people. Let them love people day in and day out. Father, may we glorify you in all that we say and do. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone saying together, amen. 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 Pastor? Amen.